Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and as many of you know, I often mention I live just 20 minutes away from Bumblin' Biden's basement, but I also live just 20 minutes away from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where we just had a major breaking story that affects all of us. Now, you may have heard about Amos Miller, the Amish farmer who's come under heavy persecution by the state of Pennsylvania, as well as the Food and Drug Administration for his organic farm products sold across the nation. Some of you may actually be customers of Amos Miller. I know a lot of you enjoy from farm to table products. He's wonderful. He's been doing this for at least two decades. He has a massive base of loyal customers. Absolutely. Precisely the kind of person you'd want to be a neighbor to or somebody behind our economy. However, back in January of this year, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, in cooperation with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, raided Amos Miller's farm, where government agencies literally tens of thousands of dollars worth of food that had been produced on the farm for Amos's customers, even though there were no complaints whatsoever from anyone regarding the quality of Amos's products. But wait until you hear what the state tried to do next. And we're joined today by someone who was actually part of the proceedings and witnessed firsthand what the state was trying to do there. Joining me today is renowned attorney and populist hero, Robert Barnes, who's supporting Amos Miller through his Free America Law Center. Just click on the link below to find out more how you can help and support Amos during this obviously very trying time for him. So, Robert, great to have you with us, and congrats on successfully navigating what I understand to be the labyrinth of the Pennsylvania court system. And I hear it's quite Byzantine, but can you just enlighten us on the latest developments in the case?
Absolutely. So, you know, Amos Miller is a Amish farmer, fifth generation, Lancaster County dairy farmer, provides a range of other products, but it starts with the raw milk products, the unpasteurized milk products. You know, everything, butter, cream, ice cream. I've had the privilege of eating dinner at his dinner table. And if you could give it Michelin stars, I'd give it four Michelin stars, which doesn't exist yet. It is the best meal I've ever eaten anywhere in the world. I had the distinct privilege of, after eating his food, having to eat plain food the next day and realizing that's what the government thinks I should be eating, the plain food, and I shouldn't be allowed to eat Amos Miller's food. But the government has been harassing him, and now they have sought and obtained a injunction that prohibits him from selling his own milk products to his own private members of his own association, to his own customers, even though every one of them testified they desperately needed it. Hundreds of people filed sworn declarations under penalty of perjury that to the court, begging the court to allow them to have continued access to it because of how good the food is, how critical it is for many of their medical conditions of they or their loved ones, including in some cases their young children, how often essential it is to either their religious practices or politically expressive beliefs, all supposed to be First Amendment protected activities that the state of Pennsylvania is stripping. And they're not only prohibiting him from making it available to his own members, in Pennsylvania, they're prohibiting him from making it available to anyone in the entire world, because the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture now claims the power to govern all food all across the world. I've been calling the Secretary of Agriculture Redding, Pope Redding, because you're not allowed to eat any food until Pope Redding blesses it. Imagine a country in America that was founded on independent farmers for its constitutional republic. Being completely, that's the one thing you can't do is eat food directly from the farmer without the government's permission.
And I've heard you put it beautifully. Those are our true founding fathers. Those are the founding, not so much the oligarchical elites, as it were, but just your 90% of the country of rural farmers and the like. I understand that there's a rationing system that they've imposed on the millers, something akin to that.
Yeah, I mean, to give you an idea of how extraordinary their power grab is, I mean, they went to his personal farm, seized a bunch of food, ordered it detained. He couldn't move it, couldn't even put it into a place where it would be safer to be preserved. Then they ordered it all destroyed after their own test proved that the food was safe. Their own test came back and showed that all the food from Amos Miller's own farm was safe. There was some other food that was stored there from another farmer that they found a very small amount of Listeria in that we tested and found out where it was and got that taken care of. There was nobody, by their own admission at the hearing, no one has ever complained about Amos Miller's food ever. Ever. You're talking about millions of food products over two decades to tens of thousands of Americans, and he doesn't have a single customer complaint in history, which makes him one of the most extraordinary food providers in the entire world. Your average restaurant gets a complaint once a week.
Yeah.
Amos Miller doesn't get a complaint once in 20 years. And yet, that's who they're trying to shut down.
We were talking about this before the interview. It's something comparable to what Letitia James is doing to Trump in New York, and Judge Engoron, who I like to call the freeze miser, you know, who there no complaints, no issues, no bank, no insurance company filing any claim against Trump whatsoever. Just a bunch of bureaucrats out of nowhere, just descending down from their perches. And this is what upsets me so much, Robert. They're deliberately trying to do harm. That's what riles me up when I hear cases like this, is they're deliberately exploiting the power of the state to harm the very citizens who pay for that state.
That's exactly right. I mean, take the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. That's supposed to be about protecting dairy farmers. Dairy farming is very big in Pennsylvania. Lancaster County is the per capita capital of dairy farming in the entire country. Much of that from the Amish community that is predominant there, that came there because the Quaker founders of the state of Pennsylvania promised them protection from retaliation, promised them protection from discrimination. And here, their most prominent Amish farmer in the world is the primary target of the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. That's busy raiding his places, seizing food, ordering food destroyed. As you mentioned, they told him, they rationed to him how much food he could feed his own family from his own farm. They told him he couldn't even feed his own pigs unless they gave him advance permission. This is how nuts these people are. And if you took a photo of these people, I mean, they're an example of what's wrong with our public health system. They are a walking, talking, if they were models, they're lard-ass, low IQ models of bad health in America. Officials that work at the PDA who get paychecks for 20 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You look at the land, one out of two dairy farmers under this Pope Redding, Secretary of Agriculture of Pennsylvania, one out of two dairy farmers say they will be out of business or already have gone out of business under his reign, either in the last 10 years or saying they will in the next 10 years. Imagine losing half of your dairy farmers in a state that's known for dairy farming when your job is to protect them. It's because he's busy running them out of business promoting the corporatized, industrialized, mechanized food system that is controlling and increasingly monopolized our food supply in this country.
Yeah,
and, it's a danger to all of us.
It sounds comparable to what we were seeing in the Netherlands with the beginning of the farmers' revolt there, and how they're trying to shut down their agricultural industry for the WEF and all this insanity. So what was this? Was the pretext permit issues? Why were they raiding his farm to begin with?
The initial pretext was they were claiming safety. The problem is they've tried to blame him for years for various things. So about 7 years ago, they tried to blame him, said that someone died. And so we investigated at the time, and the caretaker said it was a grandmother who had passed away, said she wasn't an Amos Miller member. She never drank or consumed any Amos Miller product. She had fourth stage cancer, and she got a bad treatment for it in the hospital, and that's what she died of. So I said, this is nuts, and filed it under penalty of perjury. So after falsifying that claim, then they tried to falsify. They said, there's this E. coli with two cases, one in Michigan, one in New York, with little kids. Well, it turns out, in fact, nobody was hospitalized for anything. And so that was all fake. And when they searched, they did all the sampling of everything, the water, the environmental sample, they sampled the various tanks. They sampled a bunch of the food. And guess how much E. coli they found at Amos Miller's farm? Zero, zilch, zilka, nada. So they had to walk away from that claim. So then they said, there was some other farmer stuff that was located there on his premises, and some of that had an unidentified, apparently tiny amount of listeria in it. And they said, maybe this relates to something. And then they found they couldn't find any. They didn't relate to anybody either, that there was ever any problem whatsoever. And there's a range of reasons for that. Raw milk products as a whole. don't create Listeria problems because the good bacteria counteracts the bad bacteria.
Right, right.
That's the reason. That's the people that love unpasteurized milk.
Right.
Understand. Right. I mean, you can just drink it once. And I told people it was better than cocaine. I mean, damn, you get an energy right away. But now the PDA wants to treat it as more dangerous than cocaine. You get Amos Miller's raw milk, it's somehow like crack or something. Even though it's great for people, incredible health benefits. And the biggest problem they have, why target the Amish? Why target Amos Miller? Well, the Amish are a control group that keeps exposing the problems of big pharma and big food and big tech. Yeah. They don't engage in big tech. They don't engage in big pharma. They don't engage in big food. And we get to see what happens. They're healthier, happier, and live longer than the rest of us by every objective metric known to man. We're experiencing in America a chronic disease epidemic, unlike any we've ever experienced before, as Robert Kennedy keeps talking about. And credit to Robert Kennedy, he came out and talked about Amos Miller's case.
He did. I saw the tweet. Yeah,
he said it's essential. This case is a leading case. He understands this issue. I'm hoping President Trump, Donald Trump Jr., has spoke out for Amos Miller. Scott Pressler has spoken out for him. Congressman Thomas Massie has spoken out for him. But we need more people in the court of public opinion. I'm hoping President Trump does the same. Because this is a direct threat to all of our freedoms. They want to say you can't eat food unless we, the government, permit it first. You can't farm food unless we, the government, permit it first. And that's ultimately at the hearing. That's what they conceded. Their own witnesses admitted on the stand. No one had ever complained about Amos Miller's food ever in 20 years, that they couldn't find one scene, despite all the sampling and searching and seizing and checking against all the databases of everybody who had a foodborne illness tested anywhere in the country. They couldn't find a single case they could say Amos Miller caused somebody to be ill. Not a single complaint ever from anyone about any Amos Miller product, all the testimony on Amos Miller's side. So what do they say at the end? Judge, you got to enjoin him because he doesn't have our permit yet, even though their permit is a prohibition. If you get a raw milk permit in Pennsylvania, you're disallowed from producing 95% of raw milk products. That's how
can you flesh that out for us a little? Because I thought that was so fascinating. I came across that in my research as well. Permits are actually more negative, it seems, in Pennsylvania than pot. Can you explain that a little bit?
Imagine you needed a driver's license to go to work.
Okay.
And so they prevent you from going to work until you get a driver's license. But when you apply for the driver's license, they say, this is fine. You just can't use it to go to work. That's the nature of what the Pennsylvania law is. So the Pennsylvania law created a system because the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture kept harassing raw milk producers in the early 2000s. So the legislature, responding to public outrage, said, no, you have to permit raw milk. But because the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture said, well, that means I get to prohibit most raw milk products because now I have a permit power. That means I have, you know, it's the old German quote that in America, unless it's explicitly prohibited, it's allowed. But in Germany, unless it's explicitly allowed, it's prohibited.
Right.
Well,
right.
They're taking the German position there in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania Dutch in a whole different outworking. I understand the judge didn't quite understand that.
No, didn't. He kept why not get a permit? It's like, because if he requests a permit, he's not allowed to make 95% of the raw milk products his customers need. No butter, no cream, no ice cream, no yogurt, no colostrum, you know, none of it that are the most essential. I mean, he is one of the best producers. Many of the customers testified, many of the private members testified that he was the best and only producer of what they needed for their physical health, that he was the only solution. These are people that spent a decade searching for something, sometimes for their loved one, either an elder loved one or a young child, or for themselves. And they said, we didn't find a solution until Amos Miller. And I've been in my best health ever since Amos Miller. You take this away, it jeopardizes my health. It may jeopardize my life. That's what they testified to. And yet it's those precise products that they need that are prohibited by the state if he requests a permit. So it's all about a power grab. It's all about the state monopolizing the power, establishing the precedent that they control our food, just like they want to control our medicine, because then they control our bodies. And if they control our bodies, they control everything else.
They control everything. So let's put a little exclamation mark on this. What would be some of the implications for food freedom, not just across Pennsylvania, we're talking the entire nation, if the government succeeds in what they're trying to do with Amos Miller here?
Well, just take the one aspect of the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture saying they have the right to govern all food supply in the entire country. That if it ever comes through Pennsylvania in any way, shape, or form, they get to govern it. Because here they've prohibited him from distributing food to people outside the state of Pennsylvania. If they can do that, that means any rogue agency can do that. Kind of like the states trying to take Trump off the ballot that the Supreme Court finally set aside today.
Finally, yeah.
Exactly. But you know, it's the same thing. Imagine if one rogue state can control my right to get access to food because at some point it travels through there or comes from there, has some connection to there. That's never been their power before, but that's what you would have. You would have any state could hijack our food supply in North Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, Wyoming, you name it. So that's one problem. The second problem is they're trying to establish the precedent that that no food can be purchased ever or even produced. And in fact, they testified to this on the stand without their permission. And that would mean that the only food that is allowed in the entire country is state permitted food. Mm-hmm. And ultimately this is designed, they hinted at this a couple of years ago during the pandemic, when they were talking about regulating people's gardens. That's where they're going to go. I mean, the IRS years ago said that they wanted to tax people cooking in their own homes. And luckily there was enough pushback on it, but the goal is complete control. You're effectively a serf at that point. They're trying to legally, through the regulatory structure, recreate serfdom in America, where you owe your labor to the state. You only get food by the permission of the state. You only get medicine by the permission of the state. And once they control that, they control you. And we already see the third stage of it. Letitia James, the attorney general of New York, trying to put Trump out of business, trying to deprive him of campaign finance funding by bringing on that bogus judgment that Judge Engoron signed on to, is going after a beef producer. What's ground using climate change as the pretext, because that relates to any of their once they have regulatory control, then they can weaponize that to go after their political adversaries and reward their political allies. But on top of that, they can push the broader agenda, which is population control. Right. Bill Gates's big obsession outside of vaccines and lockdowns involving the pandemic. His big obsession is population control, as he himself admits, but has been food. He is investing in all the alternative food companies. He's been buying up all the farmland that's being run out of business by the various regulatory agencies. So Bill Gates wants to control your food. Bill Gates wants to control your medicine. And it ain't because he wants you to live a happy, healthy, long life. So that's the ultimate agenda at play here. And what's at risk in Amos Miller's case?
It fits so perfectly with Chapman University, Joel Kotkin's conception of refeudalization, where, you know, billionaires and bureaucrats team up to inflict top down management on populations through a new kind of fundamentalism. And instead of sort of the Roman Catholicism, it's wokeness. And instead of a clerical class, it's through a clerisy class, these pseudo intellectuals in the universities and the like. You mentioned Scott Pressler. I was just curious if we could just take a little bit of a turn on the possible political ramifications of this. I know Scott's been on the front lines of voter registration in Pennsylvania, and he's been tweeting out how he's seeing record number of Amish register to vote. I'm just wondering if that might be at least in part a backlash for this federal and state overreach among Amish? Yeah.
As soon as the issues of attacking Amos Miller started to reach public information and spread throughout the Amish community, and the Amish community started to discover, those that did know Amos personally, that what they were reading in the local press that the Amish consume, because they don't consume digital press, was false about, you know, the media had been lying locally about Amos for years. And as they saw that being true and saw the abuse taking place and saw that they're jeopardizing the Amish way of life by the farm as the foundation of it, by denying them access to their customers without state permission, and state permission often being denied or cost prohibitive, or as it's evident here, not being allowed to use most raw milk products, produce them or sell them, then they started rallying to them. And Scott Pressler started talking about Amos Miller's case about a month and a half ago. And since then, there has been a continued dramatic spike in Amish voter registration and voter participation and their intentions of participating. And I think it's the reason why I think President Trump would really benefit from speaking out about Amos Miller's case, because the Amish in Pennsylvania is going to be razor thin once again. And in a state with razor thin margins, the Amish can be the decisive majority, the decisive vote. The food freedom movement can be the decisive vote just by themselves. Right. And a lot of people are attuned to Amos Miller's case, especially those that are well-informed, because they understand the consequences of this case. It's the reason why Robert Kennedy eagerly got involved at the first opportunity to get involved, was because he understands what's happening. He understands its constitutional consequence. He understands its political consequence.
Right.
And I think, and there's no question that there's already backlash building against the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, against a lot of the lazy politicians in Pennsylvania that tried to excuse and pardon this conduct, just like they ran away from challenging the lockdowns during the middle of the lockdown. Pennsylvania is one of the worst states in the country in that regard.
Yeah.
Same on vaccine-related issues. So the the political blowback is coming, and it's coming big time, and the smart money will be with Amos Miller, not against him.
Yeah, I saw it firsthand, just the way Republicans backstabbed Mastriano. It was just talk about rhinos, rhino land in Pennsylvania. They're just horrible. It relates
to the old corporate industrialized machine that built all those mansions where the words mainline Republican came from, mainline Protestantism came from, was the main line of Philadelphia. Those elites are used to running things, and they don't like the commoners speaking up. But more and more commoners are going to be speaking up, and their days are numbered. And the smart people, you know, it's like Huey Long once said in the Senate, he goes, I got to figure out whether to hang around with you guys in here so that when they come, I hang with you, or I go outside and lead them to hang with the rest of you. The smart populist, or the smart politician, Senator Vance, been a great populist on many issues. Good number of Amish in the state of Ohio. Food freedom matters to everybody. I'm encouraging everybody that's smart will start to speak out on this issue and join Congressman Massey, join Robert Kennedy, join people like Jeffrey Tucker talking about it at the Epoch Times, join Children's Health Defense, join Del Bigtree with the High Water, recognize just how significant and consequential this case is and politically beneficial it can be for their own careers to pursue it and advocate for food freedom.
Yeah, it's a win-win. It's brilliant. How can people help Amos? I know he's got some fines, it looks like he's going to have to pay, and legal bills and all that sort of stuff. How can our listeners help out and be a part of this?
Well, it's very much like the Hold the Line movement, the HODL movement during when they were taking on those big hedge funds a few years ago on behalf of GameStop and the meme stocks.
Yeah,
stuff. You know, I just like the stock. I got diamond hands. All of that, it's the same. They thought they could bankrupt Amos. They could get an injunction. Then he would not be able to distribute his raw milk. He has to continue to milk the cows, because otherwise that creates all kinds of production problems. So what it does is it puts him in a position where he's having to make something and then destroy it. Make something and then destroy it. Then normally you would be bankrupt. That would be the normal effect, but within 6 months before you could even have a full trial or full appellate resolution of the case. What surprised them was ordinary Americans rallied to his defense. And there's a give, send, go for Amos Miller that almost all that money goes directly to him to keep him economically afloat while they're trying to destroy him and destroy our food freedom rights in the process. And I helped establish an organization called Free America Law Center. FreeAmericaLawCenter.com. It's going to be a one-stop shop location for all the information concerning Amos Miller. It's more global implications, the legal documents concerning it. We're even creating merchandise so you can have some fun supporting Amos Miller with t-shirts, hats, you name it. Got Miller's milk. You know, we got a lot of stuff we're going to have some fun teasing the state with. Other ways that you and Free America Law Center is the principal source of fundraising for all the legal costs. It will be a seven-figure defense. I'm sure he won't be able to raise that amount of money, but I've agreed to lend all of my team's legal services to it. we're just trying not to go bankrupt during the process ourselves. But but people can support. Go to the Give Send Go for Amos Miller. Go to freeamericalawcenter.com. If you just want to make a donation, you can just make a donation. It's an LLC, not a 501c3, so your information is always protected. It's never disclosed to the government. And it's a way to fight back, because his case matters to all of our constitutional rights. We're going to be bringing appeals. We're going to be bringing petitions before the court. We're going to be bringing a federal civil rights claim to say that, on behalf of all the members, that they have a constitutionally protected right under the First and Fifth and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution to a substantive due process fundamental interest in being able to get decide for themselves their own diet by buying directly from the producer of that food, especially when it's a farmer, and especially when it's traditional dairy, poultry, and meats. And if we can establish that right without regard to government permission, then we would protect one of the core fundamental liberties in this country that is foundational to all of our other freedoms as well. So that's how Amos Miller's case is going to be globally impactful for everybody in the end, because we want to establish that right as fundamental that they can't take away unless the food is dangerous or deceptive, which they can never prove in the case of Amos Miller, because he produces some of the safest and best food known to man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, click on that link below. It's freeamericalawcenter.com and support Amos today. Help Robert beat this case. This is so worth of our time. I mean, in a nation founded by farmers, it's almost astonishing that we're even having this conversation. Also, Robert, where can people access your work, your weekly political and legal analysis?
Oh, sure. We have a locals page, Viva Fry and I, vivabarneslaw.locals.com. And we, you know, we do live streams, we do questions and answers, we do Substack style written briefs. We share, there's a Barnes Law School. We do some hush hushes on some alternative theories about alternative events out there. I can go back and watch our Ukraine one. That ended up being quite nailed on the head.
Yeah,
January 6th, we did one right, you know, the week after. All of that came true, what to look for when something isn't quite what they're trying to sell it as. And we'll have more of those. So, yeah, vivabarneslaw.locals.com is where you can get a lot of fun content. It's a great board. They create fun memes. They, you know, they create tons of fun content. They share a lot of informative links. You know, like that's how I was introduced to you, was other members of the board said, you got to check out Dr. Turley.
Okay, so great. Well, it's the same same on our end, where it's like, oh, you got to have Robert Barnes on sometime. I'm like, no problem. That'd be great. If he's got the time, we'd love to have it. Gang, I am actually a member over at Robert's Locals, Viva Fry, and as well as Rich Barris's People's Pundit. These guys are the best. I couldn't recommend them more. Click on the link below. Sign up. You're going to love it. This could be a very enriching part of your weekly diet of information. Robert, I name drop you whenever I'm talking about law issues, since I'm not a lawyer. I name drop you, I think, only second to my namesake, Jonathan Turley, and that's you're always referenced at least, I think, once a week on this channel, so everyone knows you, and it's just so great to have you here and for such a worthy cause of with Amos Miller, and thank you for taking that up and using just that, the sharpness of your mind for that. It's wonderful. You have an expertise that's second to none, and gang, I could not recommend an analyst on just on legal, political, economic, international, geopolitical matters more than Robert. We also have our mutual, the Duran boys, Alex and Alexander, are good friends there as well. So thank you, Robert, for coming on. And please come back and update us on how things continue to play out in the appellate process as well.
Absolutely. Will do.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks a lot.